what were the main events that sparked this ongoing turmoil within Australian Rugby Union?
Well, Sean, if you're going to be unfair, you'd say it's been coming for some time. Raylene Castle has been very much a focal point as the CEO over the last couple of years and clearly walked into an unusual situation with a pandemic this year. But rugby has been in a state of flux now for some time without a clear sort of strategy and structure and a product that's under siege a little bit. So the income flows, the crowds haven't been where they should be. And rugby itself hasn't had the identity that it has had in the past, the glory days of the 1999 to sort of 2003 era where crowds were massive, coffers were full, and everything was moving in the right direction. So there was a lot of underlying issues that Raylene Castle as a CEO was dealing with. And as she left, you've got a point, though, to the pandemic, which has really exposed not just rugby but other sports in the country for the way that they're run and the nature of their sort of hand-to-mouth existence.
I mean, this is it. We're dealing with this very unusual situation this year. All the sporting codes are dealing with this one. So how can we really measure Raylene Castle's performance, such as it were?
Well, look, Rugby Australia gave themselves about 71% on their own scorecard last year, but I don't think we'll use that. Unfortunately for Raylene, she's left with a very average mark indeed. I think the way that you have to look at it for Raylene Castle was she came into an organisation with a lot of issues and she was looking to fix a lot of those. She had a lot of things that she wanted to improve and change, and none of those had really started to come to fruition. Unfortunately for Raylene, this would have been a big year for her. This was the year where we wanted to see whether some of the plans, the bigger things that she needed to achieve or wanted to change in the game were not going to come to fruition. And she's not going to be around to see us out. But she had a new idea on how to approach a broadcast deal. She was going to the open market on that, was reportedly talking to Optus as a new broadcaster to create a different way of engaging with rugby in Australia. She had a new Wallabies coaching staff put together, and there was some hope that the Wallabies, who've had a lean 2 years, would be turning around. But really, unfortunately for Raylene, the big markers on her career and instance as the CEO are more likely people are going to point to things like the Israel Folau saga and the untidy way in which he exited the game. So for Raylene, she didn't really land any big blows. She had some community things in place and some good green shoots on some things, but really it's a big question mark over whether it was a successful tenure or not.
At the present moment, how are resources and funds being actually managed by Australian Rugby Union to actually ensure that there is a game and there are players for that game in the near future? I mean, given that sort of hand-to-mouth situation you mentioned before.
Well, I think right now it's the real crux of the matter. There's an interim CEO in Rob Clark, who's a good, strong, experienced rugby executive who stepped in Raylene's absence. And that is absolutely a number one on the agenda. Right now, they've negotiated a cut with the players, taking up to 80% out of some of the pay packets for a period of time there. Clearly they've got sponsors and broadcaster payments from Foxtel, the incumbent broadcaster, have stopped because there is no product. They're doing two things. Clearly, one, they're going through their books. Their books have to be cleaned up and signed off by the end of this month. And they're very reliant on a World Rugby payment, which has been promised, so that the governing body worldwide is flush with cash after a great World Cup last year. So there's $16-17 million there that are slated for Rugby Australia. But really, they've got a very short-term focus. How do they get funds starting to come in again? Well, they're very reliant on being able to play footy again. So navigating their way through a competition structure that they can get up and running and that is also palatable to a broadcaster who is clearly not going to get exactly what they paid for in an international Super Rugby competition. So right now, the funds that they do have been severely restricted and they didn't have a lot in the kitty to keep them through the dark times. So right now, we're also waiting to see what that financial situation looks like in the next few months and how they can get product back out there to start the money coming in again.
Are we seeing sort of a general consensus among fans in relation to the, I guess you might say, the overall success of Australian rugby at the moment? I mean, are they waiting on tenterhooks for this one to come back, or is there an exhaustion starting to seep in?
I think you'd absolutely have to point to some exhaustion there, Sean. I mean, most definitely there is a lot of disgruntled fans out there. I mean, Australian rugby, probably what you've seen over the last 10 years is the less rusted on fans have moved away. There's a lot of sports product out there you know, if rugby's not firing on all the cylinders, there's plenty of other things to watch. Then you've got the core fans who are rugby through and through and who are looking to the game to give them something. And they've had a rough journey as well. We've had, you know, a Super Rugby competition that hasn't been going particularly well. Australian teams that haven't been performing, so not a lot to cheer about. But the interesting thing is you've got to be cautious about trying to characterise that rugby community. I know Nick Farr-Jones, the former Wallaby captain, came out and said that Raylene Castle and Rugby Australia had lost the rugby community, and I think that was a complete misinterpretation. With all due respect to Nick standing in the game, there's absolutely people out there who were believing in what Raylene was doing and were seeing green shoots in our under-20s and our Wallabies and expecting big things. But there is definitely a rugby community that needs direction and leadership and needs to have faith in their game, and that's what they're looking to Rob Clark and potentially a new board to do.
Well, Ben, I greatly appreciate you joining us on this one this morning. Unpacking it for us a little bit.
No worries, Sean. Always good to chat.